Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Who's that guy kidding? Bob Pompiani on Christmas Eve? Part-time Pomp is out again today, but that's okay. We knew the deal when we signed up. We did, and we had a lovely time yesterday. Myself, him, City Limits, gift exchanges. Well, a gift exchange with me and City Limits. Bob didn't join in that either. Seth Meyers to my left and Josh Rountree in overtime in penalty kicks here. I really want.
Yeah, I have nothing else better to do on Christmas Eve.
Apparently not. What are you doing? I love the fact that you're here, but what's happening?
I have to go pick up food at 10:45 and it's right down the road. So I don't really have anything else. I have to just kill 20-30 minutes.
Beautiful.
So you told me, hey, just kill it with me on the air.
And I love it.
That's fine. We've hosted before at training camp once.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was a great time. After we had the rounds of golf of our life, if you recall.
I do. That was
we played at Glengarry.
Glengarry.
Yeah, we both shot
both of us were on fire. And then I went on a horrendous swearing stretch at the end. And somebody complained about me in the clubhouse. Do you remember that?
I do remember that. It was a sour way to end a great day.
It was. I just remember on the 18th hole, I was in the 80s, and I hit a ball that I think went off the clubhouse because I choked. Yeah. I choke in that sport. And somebody came up to you and said, that guy over there was the word aggressively swearing?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it might be an accurate description of how you
were
swearing.
Oh, it was. Yeah, it was.
It was aggressive
I'm not questioning the accuracy. I'm just trying to remember how it all went down. Seth, how are you?
I'm wonderful.
You know that his name's not actually Seth, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, right. I switched between Sean and Seth
Myers.
Okay,
good.
Right.
I think someone called him Jason the other day, so maybe that'll catch on for
me?
No, Josh.
Oh, yeah. I did get an email that said, thanks, Jason. The best part was the guy that emailed me, his name was also Jason.
Yeah. Did you hear Mulsey the Snowman yet, our version of it?
I've heard bits and pieces, but not the whole thing.
Perhaps we could play it for you and get everybody in the holiday spirit here. The ending was somewhat of a disaster. I wrote it in a break right before we did it, Mulsey the Snowman, because we needed a single to tease to the album. I recruited three women from the sales department to sing, including Gwynn Gold, who's a professional singer.
Yeah.
Bob was the star, so I wrote it.
Of course.
I arranged it with Bob doing the Burl Ives solo in the middle. At the ending, I blew the ending. I'll give myself a break because I wrote it in 5 minutes, but we had an E rhyme, which would have rhymed with Mulsey's nine straight threes. And then I could have ended it by saying, or so he claimed, or maybe in Bob's voice. So if you haven't heard the whole thing, it's only 1 minute. You obviously have a minute since you haven't left yet on Christmas.
Yeah, I got about 20 more of those.
Go ahead, Sean.
Now, the Fans Christmas Chorus brings you Mulsey the Snowman.
Oh, Mulsey the Snowman was a jolly, happy soul. With a giant bald head and a mountain nose, his favorite picture was Garrett Cole. Oh, Mulsey the Snowman is a fairy tale, they say. He was made of snow, but the listeners know how he came to life one day.
Bob.
There must have been some magic in that oversized hat they found. For when they placed it on his head, Malzy danced around.
Oh, Malzy, the snowman, was alive as he could be. He used giant words, and his favorite GM was a man named George McPhee.
I actually, now that I look back on it, I'm glad we went with George McPhee at the end, an obscure GM and off-key.
Yeah. I think the thing that I love the most is that the station actually paid for a guy to introduce it.
And he put music to it. We sang it a cappella, and Steve Wilson, who I think is in Atlanta or somewhere, he put music to it, which was very special.
Phenomenal.
Thank you.
It's very well done.
How about Bob? That was better than the original the Snowman.
Bing Crosby, eat your heart out. Holy cow.
Isn't he great, Bob?
I mean, you know what it is. It's just he has that voice automatically.
He does.
So it's not a big transition for him to go from talking to singing.
Exactly.
And it's just great.
And it makes up for the fact that he's never here. It's the times that he is here, he does pour his heart into it.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. All right, Josh. I have Josh Rountree here on a Christmas Eve. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to all of you out there. Glad you could join us as you're probably, at least a lot of you, busily headed to relatives' houses, last-minute shopping. A lot of awkwardness also around Christmas. Let's be honest with that, Josh, when we're thrown in with these people we see maybe once a year, maybe twice a year.
Yeah.
We automatically go back to our canned conversations on the same topics we've been talking to Uncle Mort about for, 13 years. We default to Uncle Mort as an Eagles fan, so let's talk about that briefly. I want to go home, I say to my wife in the other room. When can we go home? You know, things like that, right? We all have that. It's the awkward once a year holiday gathering of people who love each other, sort of, but don't really want to be together for more than an hour.
All right, well, the gifts are open. What now?
where are you going for Christmas?
So we host Christmas Eve at our house with my wife's parents and my parents. And then we will go to my parents' house for breakfast in the morning, open some gifts there. And then we'll go to her parents' house. They live about an hour away. We'll go to her parents' house tomorrow night, which is out in Beaver County. So we'll kind of make make our rounds, but nothing too extreme. We kind of keep it smaller. We're both only children as well.
Yeah.
So not, you know, we don't have nieces and nephews and all that we have to see and take care of gift-wise. So it makes it a little easier for us.
Ron Cook grew up in Beaver County. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, yeah. He's on the Brighton Hot Dog Shop Cup, right?
So is Part-Time Pomp.
Oh, wow.
They're on there together, I might add.
Of course. Why wouldn't he be?
Beaver County legends.
Is Pomp from Beaver County?
Yes. Yes, he's from Beaver County.
I did not know that he was from Beaver
County. Hopewell, Aliquippa, one of the two. Right. They're sort of interchangeable,
legends,
are they not?
A lot of legends from that area.
Yeah.
He's Hopewell, I think, right?
Is he Hopewell?
He and Tony Dorsett.
Does he claim to be Aliquippa?
Well, Tony
though?
Dorsett is Aliquippa who went to Hopewell. Am I right about
that? That's true.
But wherever you go to school, you can claim that, right?
Sure. I guess. Ron went to Blackhawk, didn't he? Even though he was from Beaver Falls.
Yeah, I think Ron went to
Blackhawk. He was heartbroken when in junior high school they sort of divvied up the neighborhoods, and he had a dream to go to Beaver Falls like Joe Namath, and he didn't do it.
And instead he had to go to Blackhawk.
Right, where he was a very good football player. He had a big touchdown catch one day, 70 yards.
How many beers deep on Christmas Eve right now is Ron?
11. At least, right? Is he in Pittsburgh?
Has he been back to Pittsburgh since he left?
Yes, covertly.
He just didn't tell
anybody. He goes to Domenico's, doesn't tell anybody.
Yeah.
And then goes back to Florida.
Ron and I really bonded at the end of his time here. Yeah, actually. We very rarely spoke. Very few interactions in the 7 years that I worked with him.
Let me guess to how you bonded. Either over somebody else at the station that you both didn't like, or over Beaver Falls?
Yes.
I knew it.
Were you trapped like in the dark with Ron at some point? Was that a thing?
God, I don't
think that was me.
This story.
Are you sure?
What?
I thought there was something. Was it maybe down at a Penguins game or something? The lights went out and you
were
with Ron?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Ron and I were in the we were in the media room together after a Penguins game.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it was just me and Ron. We were the only two people left. We're the hardest workers. And all of a sudden, all the lights go out and we can't see a thing. And Ron just goes, I don't like being in this room with you in the dark, to me.
And he, you barely had talked with him at that point?
We had barely spoken. And then after that, we actually, we started to bond. And then Ron was like, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm moving to Florida.
And sad.
I haven't talked to him since.
Think of what might have been. He could have been a mentor to you.
Could have.
We have three topics today, Josh, on my mind. Actually, four, if I may be precise.
You may.
Let's touch on those, shall we? The first one. And of course, Sean, don't call me Seth Meyers. Please weigh in whenever you feel compelled. Off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. Got all kinds of things happening. Jim Rooney will be in to talk about his audio book. He wrote a book about his dad, Dan Rooney, the legendary Dan Rooney. He'll be joining me from 11 to 1. We can reminisce a little bit about the Steelers and talk about the interviews he did for this book and the book in general. But topic number one is these Penguins. What is happening here? And the question to me becomes, does Kyle Dubas stay the course, if indeed it was the course, to semi-rebuild and move along from some of these people? Does he keep all eyes on the future here, Josh? Or do we? Are we going to talk about the Penguins adding? They were 7-12-4 after the Utah Hockey Club came here and loss. Is that their name? The Utah Hockey Club?
Yeah, it sounds right.
And now they're 16-15-5. And as I look at the standings, lo and behold, I see the little Penguinis 1 point out of a playoff spot. Plus, watching the games, there's an energy building. It's fun. They hammered the Flyers last night. And what's better than that on December 23rd? Josh, should the Penguins be looking at adding? Are you willing to consider that? Or should Kyle Dubas keep his eyes on the future? And I'll use two guys as examples. Marcus Pettersson, Rickard Rakell.
You know, I hate to use this cop-out, but I think you got to wait, right? You got to wait and see how the next month plays out.
That's right.
I'm not taking, it's been what, 13, their last 13 games, they've won 9.
Let's say they're in playoff position then, by a point or two, you know, hanging around with the, with the Devils.
Yeah.
Or not the Devils, the Lightning, the Sens, you know, all them.
Yeah, they have to go for it.
So do I think so, too.
Because why else do you have Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, Chris Letang, Erik Karlsson, so on this team? Why are you paying these guys this much money if you're not having designs on winning with them?
I've changed my mind on this.
Well, yeah. I mean, the last 13 games have changed. I mean, 13 games ago, I would have said, you know, they should have blown the whole thing up 2 years ago, probably. But now it's, you know, yeah, I mean, you get on one good run. But I will say this. I am wondering, okay, is it just one good run? Is it a good 13 games and an 82-game season?
Me too, but there's a vibe about them right now.
There is.
There's a vibe. They're playing better. Two things they're much better at than they were a year ago, because how could they be worse? Is overtime and even the power play, while it hasn't exactly been a juggernaut. And my point from last year was, if you just do those two things, like average, overtime and power play, you're a playoff team. And I believe that to be true. I believed it at the beginning of the year. I believe it now.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think if you look back, I mean, how many games, because of how bad they were in overtime, did they lose the last couple of years that kept them out of the playoffs? I mean, even you win a couple of those. And it's really baffling in a way, because look at the top-end talent that they have on the ice in overtime.
It's crazy. They have and such, the power play.
Right. And they have such skillful players in both of those instances, and then yet they came up short, which is why I consistently made the point where, you know, if you're of the mindset that you have the right talent in place and you're failing to deliver on clearly schematic parts of the game, the power play, overtime, how don't you look at the coaching staff and say, this is squarely on them?
Yeah.
Well, we got the players.
Well, they did. eventually.
Right.
They made a move with the power play from Reardon to Quinn. I just think...
Was that enough, though, 13 games ago? Was that enough for you 13 games ago?
No, but everything's changed. Has everything changed?
13 games ago, I said they needed...
That's the question. Has everything changed or is this fool's gold?
13 games ago, I thought they should have fired the coach. Now we're talking about them adding at the deadline and maybe going for it.
That's pro sports for you.
It is.
And let's look again a month from now. But the roster, I always argued that this, and I wasn't going to give Sully or Kyle Dubas or anybody else over there the benefit of low expectations. They don't deserve that.
Agreed.
They've got a bunch of highly pedigreed, highly paid players and a roster designed to win. Whether anybody believes that or not, they do. So win. And then either break it up or add. And you know what? Just in time here, they're winning. And that roster, a lot of teams would like to start off, you know, with a top line of Crosby, Raquel, and Rust, and then have Geno as your second line center. They'd love to start their defense with Carlson and Letang. If those guys play to their pedigree and their paycheck, it's a good run.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Oster.
Right. And you don't rebuild with four future Hall of Famers. I mean, that's, you just don't. And so to me, the directive that they gave me, the narrative that they gave me, when they continue to bring those guys back year after year after year, is that we intend on winning a Stanley Cup this season.
Yes.
That, I mean,
The Gensel trade was the only move, and it was a big one.
Right.
Where you looked at it and said, okay, this might be over as far as trying to compete. But you know what? Rust is doing what Gensel did.
Do you think they're surprised, though, at where they are right now? Like, do you think... Kyle Dubas in his heart of hearts.
Yes, thought, Kyle Dubas, yes.
You think he thought that they would be where they are right now?
A month ago, you mean?
Coming into the season. Do you think...
I think he probably
did.
Do you
think the expectations of the franchise were...
To be on the verge of the playoffs? Sure. Yeah, I think so. I don't know about a month ago, though.
Do you think that he was intending on having to add at this deadline, though?
Great question.
I think he
left it open.
Which is probably where we are right now still with it, even though at the moment I think you have to be leaning towards saying, hey, they got the pieces in place, they're winning games. If they get even a smidge of goaltending, this could be a team that maybe wins a playoff series too. Who knows?
It could.
I mean, he went out and a last gasp sort of the last gasp that I think we've been looking for the last couple of years with this with this team.
Right.
Maybe this is the year where they truly give you that one last effort as a old collective and they go do something special. I don't know. But I didn't, 3-4 weeks ago, would I have thought this was the case? No, I literally said,
No.
I said multiple times, they need to fire the head coach. And now we're talking about them adding. It's insane.
Good for them. You know, and I don't think you go out. I don't think you keep your stars and then go out and add aging role players if you're not designed to win. And I realize he got some second round picks, some lower round picks in some of these deals. Yeah. But you know what? They're starting to work out. They're role players, guys like Blake Lizotte, even Kevin Hayes, Achari played with fire last night. And that was a fun game. You kicked the crap out of the Flyers. What's better than that?
They looked like the Penguins last night, right? They looked like what we have come to expect from these Pittsburgh Penguins over the years, way more than they have in the last few months, last couple of years even. They actually started to get back to playing with that speed, that edge that you come to expect out of them. And obviously Crosby was phenomenal.
And now he's hot.
I think that's been kind of an overlooked topic here. He has not been scoring goals. That was his second goal in the last 12 games.
I know.
He has not been scoring goals, but when he starts to heat up, they become a different animal entirely.
Right, which he is.
Right.
So where does this go? We'll keep an eye on that. Next topic. Andrew McCutchen. I can't say it more plainly than this. Absolutely loved the guy. Was 1,000% bringing him back to Pittsburgh in the first place, bringing him back last year. This is a guy who actually wants to play for the Pirates. My God, we should give him a statue just for that. But here's the thing. Now it's year three, and if you're going to – and he hit 232 with a 739 OPS, something like that. And I know people say, oh, that's right or average, maybe a little above for a DH. No, if you have a guy who can't play a position, who's his age, it's better to leave it a year too soon than a year too late. And if I'm going to have a guy on my roster who only hits, that's all he does, then it's got to be worth my while from a statistical standpoint.
Yeah.
Give me Jock Peterson. Make him an offer you can't refuse. Overpay him to bring him here. I love Kutch, of course. Everybody does. But this doesn't do it for me, especially in light of them not doing anything else. It almost feels like a distraction. Here, look over here, franchise icon. No, I'm looking over there. You haven't done a damn thing.
I think what's appropriate is to separate the sentimentality and the reality, because those are two different things right now. I love that Kutch came back. I love what he represents. I love the impact that he made on the city of Pittsburgh. I think he's one of the most important Pittsburgh athletes of my lifetime. What he was able to help bring the gutter that he was able to pull this franchise out of in 2013, 14, 15, I'll remember that the rest of my life, those 3 years. It might be the only three winning seasons that I get to see in essentially my adult life. I don't know. The way things are going, it's seeming that way. But what he was able to do was special. That does not excuse the fact that he's 38 years old. He had an average OPS last year. He provides you no value at all in the field. None. He can't play the field. Whether it's by choice, ability, whatever, he can't play the field. So not only, Joe, does that leave you with a 38-year-old as your DH, how many options then are limited because of that?
Yes.
You know, I made the point earlier. I thought there was a time where Henry Davis was struggling, obviously, with the totality of the game. Unplug him from fielding, period. Let him DH for a while. But you can't do that because you have a 38-year-old taking up a roster spot. And I'm not saying Davis is a perfect example because he has his flaws galore, but you can't get into a situation where, I don't know, maybe a guy dings up his arm or something, but you're like, hey, he can hit for a few games, but you have to give Kutch his at-bats. How is that going to work now? It has limited what they're able to do. And more than anything, I just, maybe I'm jaded, and I think it's probably there's probably a good reason for it. But this just feels like a move to placate the fan base once again.
Yeah,
it's
hey, look over here. That's what I was saying, yes.
Look at the shiny toy that we have for you over here. Meanwhile, you know, there's lumps of coal, to use a Christmas analogy, really, that's under the tree. It's like what's in the stocking is great, but what's under the tree sucks. Like that's to me, that's how I view this right now. And until they prove it by going out and spending, and until I stop hearing rumblings about them trading their best pitcher and their highest paid pitcher for financial flexibility, I'm going to continue to feel that way. And I think the majority of their fan base is going to continue to feel that way.
About 15 years ago, Seattle brought back Ken Griffey Jr. after he had been gone for over a decade. His first year back was pretty good. I mean, he was, you know, a near 40-year-old, but he batted well enough, hit almost 20 home runs, finished the season on a high note. Thought that would be it. He would ride off into the sunset, retire.
Yeah.
Because the thought was they could maybe contend that following season, they brought him back. He played like 20 games, 30 games, didn't hit a home run, was accused of sleeping in the clubhouse, and left the team in June, and that was the end of his career. It would have been better had he not come back and just retired. And I still think of that, you know, more than a dozen years removed. I hope the same thing doesn't happen with Kutch, where they realize 3 months into the season, he is no longer useful and cannot even stay on the roster.
And then what do you do with him?
Well, right. If you remember,
it's a bad split.
He got off to a horribly slow start last year, and the topic came up, what are they going to do with Kutch? Then he did start to hit. He did. But, man, this is some – not the Kutch signing, but the offseason at large is a combination, I would imagine, for – I'll say most Pirate fans of depressing and enraging. Enraging. Like, you can't go out and sign one player – for a sum of money, not one free agent for double-digit million. Like, you can't get up to 10. You couldn't get up to 20 for Jock Peterson. I mean, how many problems does that solve to say to Shelty, all right, we got you, guy, and it's not Brian De La Cruz as your cleanup hitter. It's Jock Peterson, a guy who's won two World Series in the last 5 years and who smashes the ball. Put him in the cleanup role every day. Every day. You know, I guess sometimes and against lefties, maybe not. Who cares? Most guys are righties. It solves a problem. You can't sign one. You can't pay for one guy on the open market.
And right now, you know, I don't think the Pirates are typically an attractive free agent destination. So I get that. Like, I get that there might just be guys who go to their agents and say, absolutely no way am I going to Pittsburgh. I genuinely think that probably happens. So I don't want to judge like one specific situation because you never know what's in a player's mind. Guys want to go win. They might look at Pittsburgh and say, we have no shot at going to win there.
Maybe, but money generally rules.
Right. But if you're willing to overpay, that should be able to sway them. The Pirates are clearly not willing to pay, let alone overpay. And, you know, on top of that, isn't this supposed to be like the window for the Pirates to go after it?
It is the window.
You got Paul Skeens. If there's not a better selling factor right now, it's that we have a dominant pitcher. We also have a couple of really good arms around him as well. We think we can be really competitive, but we need you to come be the big piece.
I mean, they've gotten guys with pedigree.
Right, and we're going to overpay you to a little bit to come here and be our missing piece. That should be a selling point. And yet, nobody's coming.
If you pay people, they will come, as they said on Field of Dreams, right? If you pay people, they'll come to Pittsburgh. That's just it. All right. Maybe some won't, you know? But guys in the Jock Peterson mold, if you make him an offer he can't refuse and you're not going to bankrupt the franchise at $19 million a year for 2 years... You know, come on. And then finally, I know you have to go get your food really quickly because I'm going to lead into this now and the rest of the show is going to be Steelers. Pretty big game tomorrow. Yeah. And I think the Steelers very quickly here are going to win the game. I don't think Chris Jones is going to play. I think the Chiefs, by and large, are where they want to be. If they have to win the final game next week, I know they're going to Denver. Then that's it, you know? Then I'm sure that they're capable of that. I'm not sure they're going to have to. I watched Buffalo the other day. They stunk. Looked like Josh Allen hurt his hand. They're going to be motivated in some ways, but I don't think they're going to be at full strength, and I don't think they can manufacture the necessary, like, do-or-die desperation thing here when they know pretty securely they're going to wind up with that number one seed. If they have to go to Denver and go, you know,
Or do they
treat it like a playoff game, then they will.
Right. Or do they pour it all into this game thinking, hey, we have two weeks then to rest up?
I mean, pouring it all into this game, you're still on 4 days rest.
And you're traveling.
Don't get me wrong. I think they're going to come here and try to win. I just think they're probably due for a little bit of a lull here. And I think the Steelers are coming back toward full strength in this game.
Yeah. I mean, the three guys that they're getting back, I mean, you lose Porter. He hasn't been very good, to be honest, if you want to.
Yeah, I agree.
If you want to look, his number's not great. But I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. Let's say it plays out this way and they lose the division. All right. And their path is at Houston,
mm-hmm.
at Kansas City.
Yeah.
Or they win the division and their path is Chargers at home. At Buffalo, which one of those paths is more likely to get them to an AFC championship game?
Chargers at home, then Buffalo, or Houston away.
Houston away, Kansas City away.
I don't like Kansas City away, man.
You like Buffalo away?
Better than Kansas City.
Really?
Absolutely.
I think there's a much better chance that they go to Kansas City and beat the Chiefs than go to Buffalo and beat the Bills.
I disagree. The Chiefs, crazily enough and annoyingly enough, and I just want to break things when I think about the Chiefs. I'm so sick of watching the Chiefs. Everything about them, the way that they win, it's so annoying, isn't it? But I respect them.
But does the luck run out for them?
No, they're the team that's there, of all teams, the team that's played more football over the last 7 years than anybody in the history of the game. They're the team that's going to be most rested, and they're getting healthy. They're the team that's getting guys back. They're going to be sitting there for a week, maybe if they clinch tomorrow, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever, of rest for their bodies. Listen, in the AFC Championship, you might be right. I think the Chiefs will be more vulnerable there.
But coming off the bye is the factor.
I would not want to go in there. Can you imagine what Mahomes will do to this secondary, even if healthy?
The best situation for them, Joe, I think, is the if you had to pick a dream scenario right now, it's they beat the Chiefs tomorrow. The Bills went out, and then Denver, needing to get in, beats the Chiefs in the last week. That knocks the Chiefs to 2.
Yeah.
It makes the Steelers 3, Bills 1. Steelers get a home game against whoever, Denver probably, or L.A. Home game, and then they go to KC, who has to play in that first round.
I'll buy that.
And Baltimore factors into that equation as well, because I think Baltimore could go and beat Buffalo, in which case you could be looking at Steelers Ravens round 3 in the AFC.
I'll buy that one. That one makes me excited. Like that one. Listen, man.
That's the ultimate scenario. I don't think it's going to happen.
I mean, it could. It's not like, you know, miracle on ice unlikely.
No.
But I'm not betting on it either. I watch every Bills game. Their defense stinks, and I mean stinks.
Yeah, they gave up a ton to L.A.,
And Detroit,
yeah.
And they couldn't stop New England
the other day. Drake May put it on them.
It's very disturbing.
I just don't know.
They have no pass rush, none. They have to blitz all the time, and they still don't get enough pressure. And then they get shredded in their secondary, and they struggle against the run. Other than that, they're great.
I look at the Steelers' defense right now, the holes that we have seen, and maybe it gets better with guys like Elliott and Ogunjobi, et cetera, coming back.
Yeah.
James Cook could have a field day against them because of the respect that they have to pay
on Josh Allen's running ability. Don't get me wrong. Josh Allen is right now a miracle worker.
Right.
They're going to put up 30. I think that's a game the Steelers could win 34-33. Huge advantage at kicker, by the way. The Bills guy is he makes Scott Norwood look like Gus the field goal kicking mule.
I can't believe you even mentioned that name.
Yeah.
Out loud.
This guy, what's his name? Bass, Tyler Bass, Brandon Bass, whatever his name is.
Big mouth Billy Bass.
Oh, that's a giant advantage for
Take
the Steelers.
Take me to the river.
Going into these playoffs is to have that. By the way, Chris Boswell is a giant advantage on Buffalo, who has just a tragic kicker. Houston, that guy's been all over the place. And Justin Tucker, I know he looked better. I don't trust it yet. That's three teams at least. Now, maybe not the Chargers with Dicker the kicker, Cameron Dicker.
They're going to do free kicks all the way to the Super Bowl.
It's unbelievable. Forget the fourth topic, Josh. I'm going to let you go get your food, and it's 10:36. Merry Christmas, my friend.
Have a good one.
Thanks for staying.
Absolutely.
Great stuff, by the way. That was Josh Rountree. What a wonderfully nice man he is, huh, Seth?
He's the best around.
Maybe the second best.
Behind
Jerry DePaul.
He's top five, maybe.
Top five. Top five nicest men. I would rank them Jerry DePaul 1, Marc-Andre Fleury 2, Jeff Hathorn 3. Who's fourth? Ray Fittipaldo, maybe?
He's way nicer than Josh. Yeah.
And then Josh. Josh vying for that fifth spot with a number of people, right?
Josh sometimes sends emails that are not flat out, derogatory, but he'll be a little critical in emails, but he'll phrase it in a way that you can't really tell.
Wait, emails to who? You mean tweets?
No, not tweets. No, he would never engage in any angry tweets. No.
He does get in Twitter battles.
Every now and then he'll send an email saying,
to you?
No, not to me. He likes me, but, maybe some other people around here.
There was a situation.
There was a situation.
It's all been handled.
Inner office situation?
Maybe.
Oh my gosh!
No, it was,
he's
it really
professional.
Hang
with
on
his
a second.
Email,
I want this story coming up. I talked to Jack Hamm, Mel Blunt, and Joe Green about this topic. If the Chiefs three-peat, do they have the greatest Super Bowl era dynasty in NFL history? Better than the 70s Steelers? I'll tell you what the 70s Steelers said. Next, Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Fan Text Line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Of course, our six-pack brought to you by Bet365. And it's 10:35. Time to make that call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums, 724-443-5610. This was told to me in confidence, but because it involves Harry Callis, I feel okay saying it on the air. The lovable, sometimes even likable Harry Callis. So Josh Rountree's supposed to do the morning show. He did the morning show today, right? Starting at whatever it is, 5:20. Is that when they start, Sean?
He goes on, I think, at 5:40.
5:40. So he gets an email from Harry last night, who produces the morning show regularly, right? And it says, Josh, these are our normal Tuesday guests. You'll need to reach out to them by tomorrow. The problem was it was midnight and the show starts at 5:40. And as Josh said, what am I going to do? Call Jason Lockenfora at 3 a.m. and say, don't forget to come on today? What an incredible move by Harry. Do you agree, Sean?
Yeah, it's the old case of sabotaging everyone, right? Job security for Callis because he sets everyone else up for failure.
Wow, I didn't expect to go there right away.
It's okay, though. We like Callis.
We do.
He's a showman of the highest degree.
He is a great showman. I love him. I didn't expect you to go there immediately. Now I feel uncomfortable having brought it up, but I'm glad you did in some ways.
We're all friends at the end of the day.
Sure we are. We are. Guess who's joining me? Us. At 11 o'clock, which is now only 11 minutes away, would be Jim Rooney. And he's here to talk about the book that he wrote that is now an audio book. And he was with me, I don't know, maybe a month ago. It's called A Different Way to Win. Dan Rooney's story from the Super Bowl to the Rooney Rule, and his son Jim wrote the book and now has updated it with an audio book that you need to hear. You need to hear the interviews with Mel Blunt, with the late great Franco Harris, with all these guys. I never ever get tired of talking about the 70s Steelers. And as I mentioned before our brief intermission there, my topic for this week was the Chiefs are in town. They're looking for a three-peat, which nobody has ever done in the Super Bowl era. In fact, eight other teams have tried, and only one of those eight even got so far as a number one seed. None of the eight made it to a Super Bowl that third year. Did you know that, Sean?
That was the Niners who got the
Niners got the one seed.
They lost to Dallas?
They lost to the Giants.
Oh.
1990 AFC title game. You might remember what the Giants-Bills Super Bowl finished with. I don't. I think it might have been a missed kick or something like that.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I have no recollection of that for your sake.
But anyway, I figured, you know what? I think the Chiefs dynasty, as a three-peat never having done before, would surpass the 70s Steelers, who won back-to-back twice and 4-6. Nobody else has ever done that. Nobody else has ever won back-to-back twice. Nobody has ever won 4-6. So would this surpass that?
Patriots had, what, 3-4 years?
They had 3-4, but then they went almost a decade between winning,
right.
And then they went 3-5. So I don't even look at that as the same dynasty.
So they were like, what, 01, 02, and 04 or something along those lines?
Yeah, and then they went 9 years without a title, and then they launched another dynasty. I don't think of that as the same dynasty. I just don't. When you go a decade without winning, then you launch a new dynasty.
Right. I guess my question is, would 3-4 years be enough that just that small portion could be dynastic in terms of, you know,
it's a dynasty
of all times? Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Of course
that's a dynasty, but nobody else. The reason I have the Steelers number one right now, nobody's done 4-6 and nobody ever did back-to-back twice.
Right. And to me, the difference is, and you would know this better than I would, it seems more challenging to go back to back and certainly to win 3 in a row now because of the salary cap, because the league is built around parity, and because there's more teams as well. I would imagine it was probably, 24 teams or so when the Steelers were winning, maybe even less than that.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. I have mixed feelings on that because you're right in what you're saying. You can't keep your team together. But back in the 70s, yes, the Steelers got to stay together. But guess what? There were more great teams then than there are now, and they got to stay together. So you had the Dolphins, you had the Raiders, you had the Cowboys, you had bunches of you know, teams that were this close to being what the Steelers actually were, which was the dynasty of the 70s. But anyway, who cares what I think? I went to Jack Ham, Joe Green, and Mel Blunt with the question, would the Chiefs three-peat surpass your dynasty? Jack Ham, I called him on his birthday, Monday. Didn't even know it was his birthday at the time. Certainly didn't mean to bother him with a phone call, let alone asking him whether the Chiefs would be better than the 70 Steelers. But after talking for a little while, Jack Ham said, and I quote, to answer your question, yes, I think 3 in a row is better than 4-6. He answered it very frankly. Mel Blunt didn't want to go to the comparison, which I understand. He said, I have a lot of respect for what Kansas City's done, but even if they win 3 in a row, Mel Blunt said, it would be hard for me to say they're better than our teams or the Steelers are better than them. It's apples and oranges, he said, and those are two different fruits, which was a great quote. But that's another way of saying no, they wouldn't surpass us. You know, that was basically his answer, was no, they wouldn't be better than us. So guess who I got to break the tie? Who better to break a tie in all of sports history than Mean Joe Green, who has long since become Mellow Joe Green, I might add, Sean. He's just a wonderful man to talk to. We talked for a while, and he was really interesting. But he pretty much sided with Jack Ham. He said, this is Joe Green, came to the conclusion that if the Chiefs win 3 in a row, quote, they would be in the catbird seat with everybody chasing them. They would start the conversation. I agree. I think it's almost undeniable. It is. And I'm not saying, by the way, neither are they, that these Chiefs are a better team than those Steelers. I don't think anybody will ever be a better team than those Steelers with all the Hall of Famers. But is it a better dynasty? Do they belong number one on the dynasty list because of the accomplishment of 3 in a row? And all these guys talked about that. I mean, they said, listen, back-to-back, trying to go back-to-back is a miracle. Mel Blunt said, you win any championship, it's a miracle. You have to have so much fall your way, let alone back-to-back. That's why only 8 teams, well, 9 now with the Chiefs, have ever done it. To go 3 in a row with everybody having a target on you every single week. That's why, to me, Andy Reid is the runaway coach of the year this year. He's got a team that's played more football than anybody in history over these last 7 years. 7 years. They play more than anybody, more games. High-pressure games, high-stakes games all the time. And here they are again. Going for a three-peat and you're 14-1 when you're the game that everybody circles and measures themselves by and they're 14-1, There's never been a more obvious choice for coach of the year, in my mind anyway. But those guys talked about the miracle that would be three in a row. And the Chiefs still have to do it. And the odds, I don't care if they're at home and they're rested and they're getting healthy, the odds are heavily against them. Just because nobody's ever done it. Nobody's ever done it. Not Knowles Steelers, not Vince Lombardi's Packers, although they did win the NFL championship before they won the first two Super Bowls. Not Bill Walsh's Niners, not Belichick's Patriots. Nobody's done it. So I'm with Mean Joe or Mellow Joe and Jack Ham. Is you just got to give it up if they win three in a row. Sean?
It's so difficult because everyone always says, well, it's hard to compare eras. And again, to the point, I would imagine the Chiefs probably have to win more playoff games than what the Steelers had to back in the 70s because there's so many more teams in the playoffs now, especially if they don't get that number one seed in the subsequent first round bye. It is an incredible accomplishment just to win two in a row in this era. If they're able to do three in a row, maybe that does solidify them number one all time because they're doing it again in a salary cap era in a 32 team league. And to your point, playing so many extra games that it's just naturally going to take a significant toll on their body. So I kind of agree that that would ultimately give them, you know, a leg up on everyone else. That said, 4 and 6 years is still better than three in a row if you don't win anymore.
But that's the other part. It would be 4 and 6 years for them too.
Well, yeah, because they won in 2020.
Right. So they get the double feature there.
Right. And they also played in another Super Bowl during that time, albeit in a loss against Tampa.
Yeah, and they've also been to six or seven straight AFC title games. To me, I'm with Jack Ham, and he said it. It was funny because I said, Jack, it sounded like you said that through gritted teeth because he was talking about a lot of things, and then he finally came around, and it sounded something like this. To your question, yeah. I think three in a row is better than 4 and 6. Just very, you know, begrudgingly, which you understand. But maybe people feel differently.